Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our teaching series called Step Up. We're glad you're here today. If you're listening online, we're glad you're listening online. And today we're going to talk about Step Up for Faith. Step Up for Faith. Please take your Bible or your device and go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. And if you know a little bit about the Bible, maybe you'll recognize immediately Hebrews chapter 11 is a famous chapter in the Bible. It's actually called the faith chapter in the Bible. And it's all about faith. It's the one longest running continuous teaching about faith in the whole Bible. And so if you want to go deeper in the area of faith, you may want to spend some time reading and studying Hebrews chapter 11. But today we're going to just be looking at one verse, and that's verse number 6. Also, if you would, go through your program, and inside of your program is what I call the study guide. And if you could go through there and pull this out, and this will give you a tool to capture what we're talking about today, where you can review it, look it over. It's also a place where you can write some notes and fill in some blanks. And so if you'd like to engage in that way, use the study guide. Inside of the study guide is a very, very, very valuable tool, which we'll talk about towards the end of the message today. Well, we're glad you're here today for this second message in this series. And so thank you for joining in on this message. Now, let's begin in the introduction, where I write this. Are you ready to take your life to the next level in the new year? You know, I love New Year's because it at least gives us kind of a mental reset or a mental refreshment. It's kind of a time where we can kind of say, okay, you know, I'm going to start over. I'm going to do better. And I think that's great. I think that's wonderful. I think goals are fabulous. I gave you a whole goal worksheet last Sunday, and those are available in the lobby if you want to pick one up. That was a big, big hit last Sunday. The goal worksheet that I personally use, I gave you what I personally use, and it's out there in the lobby. And the whole idea is, you know, setting goals, you know, we use the term resolutions. They're great. They're wonderful, you know. And the enemy doesn't want you to have resolutions. The enemy doesn't want you to set goals. He wants to discourage you. He wants you to think, well, I've done that goal before and I haven't made it, so I'm not going to do that again. No, listen, that is exactly where Satan wants to put you. He's trying to neutralize you. He's trying to discourage you. So keep trying. Never, never, never give up. Never give up. And so we have a time here where we can really look at our lives to go to this next level. So here's the deal. What you got to understand is that action is required to make that happen. To go to the next level, action is required. You must step up. Now, what do I mean by that? It's not enough just to want it. You understand? It's not enough to wish it. I mean, just because you want it, that's a good starting place, but it's a lousy ending place. You know, just because you wish it, a great starting place, but a horrible ending place. And wishing and wanting are not going to get you anywhere. Desire is not going to get you anywhere. It's going to take dedication or actions. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to take actions. In this series, this is an action-oriented series. I mean, every week, we're going to look at an area, and I'm going to tell you exactly from God's word what you got to do to make it happen. Okay? Exactly what you got to do to make it happen. So here's the deal. Right now, with the New Year's, there's a lot of advice going around about how to change and improve your life. It's everywhere, you know, the media. You know, this is what you can do to have your finances better. This is what you can do to lose weight. This is what you can do to improve your marriage. This is what you can do to, you know, whatever, okay? It's all around us, and that's great. I think that's wonderful. But here's the deal. What you got to understand is that the best source and the only perfect source is found in the Bible. It's found in the Bible. I mean, we have God's truth. We have God's perfect word to lead us. And in Psalm 119, it says, direct my steps, underline these three words, by your word. Direct my steps by your word. Really cool verse. I never noticed that verse before preparing for this series. But it really, it's a prayer is what it is. It's a prayer. Lord, direct our steps by your word. Lord, direct our steps by your word. We want God to, as we talk about stepping up, we want God to direct us by his word. And let no iniquity, no sin have dominion over me. In this series, you're going to learn what the Bible says about stepping up, about taking your life to that next level. Now, today we're going to look at a very important topic, and that is step up for faith. Step up for faith. Last Sunday, we looked at step up for God. Now, let me just say something. I don't always say this, by the way. If you're new, I don't always say this. But I tell you, when you've been preaching as long as I have, you know what's going on, okay? And I'm telling you, God had a special anointing on that sermon last Sunday. He really did, okay? And so if you missed that message, you know, I don't say this every week. I probably should say it every week, but I don't, okay? But I'm telling you, go to capitalbaptist.org, and that message, hit the listen button, okay? Hit that button right there, and you can get last week's sermon, including the study guide. You want to go back and capture that message and make sure it's part of your New Year's strategy for going to that next level. So that was step up for God. Today is step up for faith. Step up for faith. Now, let me just be transparent and open with you today, and I want to tell you something really important, and that is this series is not for the lukewarm Christian. I'm just going to tell you right now. I'm just going to be straight up with you, okay? If you're some just nominal so-called Christian and you're kind of a lukewarm Christian, I know what that life is like. I lived it for 8 years, so I know all about that life, you know. I understand it, okay? The bottom line is, I mean, you're probably not going to like this series very much. I'm telling you, this series is a get-in-your-face series. Because remember last week, what I said, I wanted to be like a coach. Remember I told a story about the coach who brought me in, told me, Steve, you got to step up this week, you know? I'm trying to be your coach. Now, I'm going to try to take you to the next level. Now, I will tell you, when Jesus did this with his disciples, the crowd got smaller. In fact, he ended up on the cross by himself, okay? I hope I'm not by myself when this is over, okay? But I'm just going to tell you right now. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised some of you start checking out for this series, okay? And I hope that doesn't happen, but I'm just letting you know I'm okay with that, okay? Because I'm not aiming at you lukewarm people, okay? I'm trying to move you from lukewarm to hot, okay? And if you don't want to go there, you're probably not going to like the series very much. I'm just telling you how it is now, just so we're friends, right? Okay, of course we're friends or whatever. All right, so these things matter. How do I know faith matters? Hebrews 11, verse 6 tells me, without faith, it is impossible to please God. I mean, we're talking about faith. And here's the deal. It says if you don't have faith, what a strong word, impossible. Think about that word. Impossible to please God. What is faith? Well, my definition of faith is at the bottom of page one of the notes. Faith is confident obedience to the word of God. So when a person has faith, they have obedience to the word of God. But here's the key word. Look at that adjective, confident obedience. See, they're walking in faith. And when a person is walking in faith, faith gives confidence. Faith gives confidence. And a person of faith is a person who is walking in confident obedience to the word of God. Now listen, regardless of circumstances, doesn't matter what the circumstances are. They are walking in confident obedience to the word of God. Doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It doesn't matter what the consequences are. They understand this may cost me something. There may be a price to pay for obedience. But they're willing to do it. They're willing to do it. Why? Because they're walking in faith. They're walking in faith. So the Bible says it's indispensable to have faith. And it goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Number one, you got to believe that he is. And you have to believe that he's a rewarder. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Wow. See, God rewards faith. Isn't that awesome? God rewards faith. Now, what can we do to diligently seek him? This is what we're going to talk about today. What can we do to diligently seek him? So here's what I did, okay? Go to page 2. I must have already went there, okay? Here's what I did. I asked myself this question, because it's all about the actions. I had this thought. I said, Steve, study the Bible and see exactly what specific, keyword is specific actions the Bible gives to grow faith. So the Bible actually gives specific actions. So what I learned from this is, listen, the degree of your faith, you control it. If you want to be a person of great faith, there are great actions that you do to get great faith. So here's the deal. If you want a little bit of faith, you do a little bit of these actions. If you want some faith, you do some of these actions. If you want to have an awesome, faith, you do the actions. You decide what kind of faith you're going to have. You get to make the decision. You decide what kind of faith you want to have. So what kind of faith do you want to have? I hope it's a faith that's really pleasing to God, right? So you got to seek him diligently, it says. So what are some diligent things you can do? Well, what I did was I boiled it down to 5, and I decided to put it into an acrostic to maybe help you remember it or help me remember it. Okay, so I got an action, F, A, I, T, and H. Now, here's what we're going to do today. Luke 17:5, write that at the top of page 2. Luke 17:5 is a prayer, and here's the prayer. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you the point. I'm going to give you some scripture to back up the point. Then I'm going to give you an evaluation tool, 0 to 10. 0 means not doing good. 10 means doing perfect, okay? I want you to evaluate yourself. And then I'm going to stop and we're going to have a prayer. And our prayer is going to be in that area, Lord, increase my faith. So if you're a 2, you're going to pray, God, bring me up to a 4. If you're a 7, God, bring me up to an 8, or whatever it might be, okay? So that's how we're going to approach this, okay? We have the point, the scripture, the evaluation, a prayer. Everybody got it? Good. So here we go. Number one is friends. Friends. The Bible is very, very clear that if you want to have a growing faith, you need to hang out with people that have a growing faith. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says this, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. And those who he's thanking God for, he's thanking God for people in his life. People in his life. The brethren. Okay, what does that mean? That's the family of God. The church is the family of God. We're the people of God. We're brothers. We're sisters in Christ. He says it's fitting because, underline this, your faith grows exceedingly. Your faith grows exceedingly. Paul is thanking God for people in his life that have made an influence and an impact in his life. And he says these are people that have a growing faith, an exceedingly growing faith. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. God says we sharpen each other. We sharpen each other for good and for bad, for right and for wrong, for righteousness and unrighteousness. You say, people around me don't have any influence. Yes, they do. Jim Rohn's not alive these days, but his voice continues to speak. And he's one of these awesome motivational people, okay? And Jim Rohn has a statement I think that's true. He says, you are the average of the five closest people to you. You're the average of the five closest people. Now, when you think about these five closest people, you're not talking about like coworkers. Okay, you don't get to decide who you work with. I mean, you decide, but I'm just saying, you know, you work with those people. So that's just how it is. We're talking about who do you volunteer to hang out with? Who do you volunteer to spend time with? Now, I've seen this demonstrated in a huge way in my own Christian life, and I'll just share this with you, okay? I'm going to share with you one of the most important decisions I ever made. And without this decision, I would not be standing here today. I guarantee you I would not be standing here today without this decision I made. And the decision I made, I was 18 years old. Okay, so that was just the other day or whatever. Okay, I was 18 years old. And I came to a point where I was just sick and tired of being a lousy Christian, what I would call a lukewarm Christian. I got saved when I was 10 years old. And for 8 years of my Christian life, I was just, you know, a mess. I mean, I literally, I got up one time in front of my football team, and I literally brought the team to attention, and I literally preached to those guys, okay? A week later, I was getting drunk with about half of them, okay? Literally, it's a true story, you know? That was my Christian life right there, okay? Horrible, okay? Horrible. And the reason I was influenced by this peer group, you know? And when I was 18 years old, I made a decision that I was not going to hang out with those people. Now, the summer of 1976 was the loneliest period of my life. I was very lonely that summer because I made that decision at the end of the school year. But you know what? I'm telling you, it was the richest, deepest time to connect with God that up to that point I'd ever had with the Lord. And I made that decision, and you know what? God gave me some new friends. God gave me some friends that wanted to grow exceedingly in their faith, you know? And they impacted my life, and they influenced my life. And I'm telling you, I look back on that now, and you know, probably about half of the, but I mean, you'd be surprised. I mean, I'm only 58 years old. I mean, a lot of those people are dead now, literally, okay? A lot of them, thank God, a lot of them are serving the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Okay, whatever. I'm grateful for whatever God's done in their life. Praise the Lord, okay? But I decided I was going to make a new crowd, okay? I was going to hang out with a different crowd. Now, this is a small town. I grew up in a little town, so it's not like, you know, I'm still seeing them around town and things like that or whatever. So, but the point I'm trying to make is, you know, this impact, and I would not be standing here today if I didn't make that decision. I guarantee that. Here's a question. Are you consistently hanging out with friends who will build your faith? 0 to 10. Don't look at your neighbor. Okay, but are you a 2 or you a 7 or you're a 4 or you're a 9? I don't think any of you are a 10 probably, but at least I'm not. You know, but I want to be a 10. So let's have a prayer. Lord, you see the number we wrote here on our page, Lord. And God, your word says to pray. And Lord, we prayed that prayer of the disciples. Lord, increase our faith. God, give us godly people, godly friends that can be exceedingly helpful to us when it comes to our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. So you might say, well, where do I find people like that? Okay, I'll tell you where you find people like that. At church. Church. This is the best place to find people, you know. And some of you, it's a new year, and it's a new year, and you're checking things out. That's good. But here's the deal. You're not going to really connect with anybody in this room. You're connecting with the worship team up here, the music. You're connecting with me. But you know what? You need to connect with other people. And the best way to do that, we call it go to a growth group or a small group. We changed the name. We used to call them small groups. But I decided a year or so ago, my coach calls his growth groups. I've been thinking about 3 or 4 years. I'm kind of a quick decision maker. Okay, it took me about 4 years to change. But I wanted to emphasize the purpose of the group, not the size of the group. So now we call them growth groups, okay? Because the reason, here's the deal. You're connecting relationally to grow spiritually. You're connecting relationally to grow spiritually. So what you do, you get in this group with these people. We call them growth groups, small groups, whatever. Sunday school, maybe you heard that term or whatever. It's all the same, basic same stuff, okay? But the purpose is, it's not a meetup group to go roller skating, okay? It's a meetup group to grow spiritually, okay? And we can help you find one, okay? So friends, adversity. God builds your faith by testing it. He will test your faith. He will see how confident obediently you will be, okay? When you go through certain circumstances, when you face certain consequences. 1 Peter 1, we could do a whole series on this passage here. Literally a series. This is so full of meat. It chokes me just to try to go through it in a couple minutes. So full of nuggets, okay? Let me just give them to you real quick. In this you rejoice, you greatly rejoice. Okay, what's the this? The this is testing your faith. All right, it says in this testing of your faith, adversity, he says greatly rejoice. Now, how are you going to greatly rejoice? Well, number one, know that it's for a little while, okay? It's for a little while. So, you know, always remember this too will pass. I mean, most tests that God will take you through, maybe they'll go a day, maybe they'll go a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe a little while, whatever. But the point is, God is, here's how you got to think about faith, okay? It's like working out, okay? So to get built up like this body you see here in front of you today, okay? Which needs help, okay? But anyway, okay, you have to do a total body workout, right? So if I want to get my arms built up, I got to work out my arms, okay? If I get my legs built up, the point is, when it comes to faith, God is going to hit you in different areas because he wants to give you a full body workout, okay? Understand? So he'll take you through a season of testing your finances, and you get all that worked out, and you think, I got it made. Next thing you know, bam, your marriage is about ready to fall apart or whatever. He's testing you out over there, okay, whatever. You get that all straight down. Next thing you know, you lose your job. Oh, my goodness, what's going on here, you know? Well, he's kind of testing you out for a little while in different areas. If need be, you need it, he says, okay? You need it. You need this because the only way you can really grow faith, because it's like a muscle, is it has to be used. It has to be challenged. You know, you have to get a muscle, you got to stretch it, you got to move it, you got to do all those things, right? Okay? And then I love this. You go through various trials and it grieves you. Boy, it's not easy going through a trial. Some of you are grieving today. You're hurting bad. You're in a fire right now, you know? And what God is trying to figure out is the genuineness of your faith. How genuine is your faith? See, you don't know what kind of faith you got till it gets tested. I hear people say, I'll never deny the Lord. There's nothing anybody could do to get me to deny the Lord. Well, I kind of feel that way too, but I don't know, okay? I mean, shoot me with a gun, I won't deny the Lord. You put some rattlesnakes on me, I don't know what I will do, okay? I would like to think I won't deny the Lord, but I won't make any promises, okay? Because I got a major phobia of snakes or whatever, okay? You know, but pray for me that I'll make it through, okay? Whatever, okay? But I hope I do, okay? You don't know what you're going to do till you get tested. You don't know. I'm telling you, I pastored so long, I can tell you there's people that got tested. I thought I had this amazing faith. Man, they just crumbled and fell. And there's people I've seen that I would have thought, man, they don't have much faith. Man, and they were strong. You know, you don't know. You don't know what you got till you get in the fire, okay? That's when you'll find out what you got. God wants to know, is your faith genuine? Is it the real deal? And no faith is valuable. It's more precious than gold. Isn't that awesome? It's tested by the fire. And God wants to find you praising him, honoring him, glorifying him. Amen? When Jesus comes back. All your Christian life. In the top of page 3, behold, I refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Wow. Are you consistently, a key word here is allowing. Now, you don't have any choice whether you go through adversity. See, on this one, you don't get to control the action. You get to control the reaction. See that? So the question is, are you allowing God to use this in your life? Okay, are you allowing God to use adversity? So 0 to 10, how are you doing on that? In the furnace today? How's it going? Father, Lord, some of us here, we're in a furnace right now. God, I pray for each one in the furnace. God, that, Lord, they would be found praising you. Lord, bless them, help them, strengthen them. And Lord, some of us, the furnace, you got it all ready for us tomorrow afternoon, Lord. We don't even know it, Lord. We're going to be jumping right in there, Lord. God, just help us to be found faithful as you test it. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 3 is impatience. Impatience. We'll go through this one real fast because I get probably a 2 on it. So, do you know that God uses waiting to build your faith? Now, I don't like to wait. I don't know about you, okay? You don't like to wait either. I mean, I go to the grocery store, I'm looking for the shortest line with a human being at the register. Okay? I am totally against these self-checkout things. You sin if you get in that line, okay? I'm serious. I'll stand in line with 8 people before they'll say, sir, why don't you come over here? I'm not going over there, okay? I worked at a grocery store 8 years myself, okay? I'm against these machines. It's CVS up the street here. You can't even get a human being. I quit going to that place. Put it on the CD over there, dude. CVS up the street needs to get some human beings over there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. That was free. I didn't even think that up until I was standing right here, okay? But I do look for the shortest line. In traffic, you know that guy you beep at and cuss at? That's me, weaving in and out, okay? How can I get around here, okay? Whatever, okay? I don't like to wait. But God uses, when we are impatient, God uses our impatience to build our faith, right? It says tribulation produces perseverance. You learn to persevere when you face the tribulation specifically of impatience, you know? Hebrews 11, Abraham, chapter 11, Hall of Fame of Faith. Abraham, you know, he had to wait, right? God says, go over here. You don't know where you're going. Just trust me. And he had to wait. He had to dwell in tents. He left home. He left what he was familiar with him. And he went into Canaan, you know, to follow the Lord. You know, Deuteronomy 8:2. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way, these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart. You know, here are the children of Israel. You know, it's estimated that to go from Egypt into the promised land probably would have taken about 3 weeks to move that number of people, that distance. It didn't take 3 weeks. It took 40 years, okay? 40 years. Why? God says, I wanted to find out what was in your heart. I wanted to find out what was in your heart. If this doesn't happen fast, what are you going to do? You know, if this isn't a microwave miracle, you know, if I'm going to crock pot this deal for you, okay, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond to that? Are you consistently waiting, key word is patiently, on God? 0 to 10. Father, increase our faith. Increase our faith. God, help us, Lord, to know that right now, as we're in a waiting room of some type, something we want to see happen really, 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 really bad, God, right now might not be good for us, Lord. Lord, we want to trust you, Lord. Trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 4, tithing. Tithing. Did you know that tithing is really ultimately not about finances? It's about faith. That's what the Bible says. So many of you look at tithing, you say, that's a financial matter. I'm not saying it's not connected to the finances, but the Bible frames, listen, the key word is frames it differently. The Bible frames it in the frame of faith. And the reason is, I mean, God doesn't need any money. I don't know if y'all know that or not, okay? He don't need to win the lottery, okay? And by the way, if you did that, you are not a very smart person, okay? That was the nicest word I could come up with or whatever, okay? And you come, I had one lady say, She came up to me, because I told her, I said, you want me to say it to your face? Come out and meet me in the lobby. And she came up, say it to my face. I said, okay, there you go. It's just not smart, okay? It's not good stewardship. But anyway, moving forward here, okay? You say, if I win, I'm not giving you anything. Well, that's fine, okay? Check those people out. Almost every one of them get destroyed by it. Just you Google it up a little bit, okay? Most of them, it literally destroys their lives, okay? Okay, moving forward here, okay? But here's a lotto that works pretty good, okay? God invites you to try me on tithing. Now, what does tithe mean? Tithe means 10%. He says, bring all the tithe. That means don't have any fuzzy math. Some of you got fuzzy math on what 10% is. You might need a calculator. Look it up or whatever, okay? Calculate it out, okay? And you're to bring it to the storehouse. The storehouse in the New Testament is the local church, okay? And God says, try me now. Try me now. I didn't say that. God said that. He says, it's really not your finances. It's whether you're going to have faith in me or not. Whether you're going to trust me or not. So one of the things that God uses to build our faith is tithing. Tithing. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, that unrighteous money, who's going to commit to your trust the true riches? I mean, God says, listen, you know, if you can't even handle the money, you know, the unrighteous mammon, how am I going to give you all this other stuff I want to give you? Pretty powerful statement, isn't it? Are you consistently returning the full tithe to God in your local church? Father, increase our faith. Increase our faith in this area. God, just help us, Lord, to fully trust you now. In Jesus' name, amen. And then lastly, hearing. If I'd asked you the question, what does God use to build faith? You all that have been in church a while, this would have been your first answer. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So what does that mean, to hear the word of God? Well, you've got to hear the word of God. Here are some things to help you hear the word of God. Have daily devotions. Have daily devotions. Now, daily devotions is a churchy word. I try not to use churchese, I call it. You know, we try to talk words that people understand. But I'm going to use it here, okay? Daily devotions is a church word. And what we simply mean by that, it's like an appointment you have with God. And what you do during your appointment with God, this might be a 5-minute appointment, this might be a 15-minute appointment, might be a half hour, might be an hour, might be longer, okay? Where you get alone with God and you, and you do two things. One, you read the Bible, study the Bible, and you pray, You say, well, how do I do that? Well, I'm giving you a tool to help you. A few years ago, this series is definitely on our website. It would be a good one to listen to if you want to grow through the Bible. I did a survey. And what I did was I surveyed, myself did a survey. I had some of our team did a survey. I surveyed the congregation. I surveyed my Facebook friends, which I have a pretty large number of Facebook friends. And I asked everybody, I said, what tools are you finding to help you study the Bible the most? Now, I had a litmus test that had to be free. It had to be free. There's lots of good tools out there you can purchase, and you should. For example, you ought to have a study Bible. Okay? A study Bible includes notes and things to help you understand your Bible. Okay? So you ought to go out and spend your $50. I spent $120 on my Bible. Okay? $120. Okay? You say, well, you're a pastor. You should. No, I spent a lot of money for a Bible when I wasn't a pastor, okay? Because, I want to get the best Bible I can find, okay? So it's worth it, okay? It's worth it. You don't want to get your little cheap Bible. You got the words about the size. You know, you can't get you a good Bible. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, okay? But everything here is free, okay? So at the top is the growth guide. Now, this is bolded at the top because we're kind of prejudiced towards this one. We craft in our church something called the Growth Guide. And the Growth Guide gives you a devotional plan to get into your Bible every day that's very easy and brief. Okay, it gives you one or two readings, gives you a couple of questions, just kind of get you focused. And what it is, it's tied into the sermon and it's tied into the growth group. So it's like the, I call it the big idea. We're studying the big idea, and we have it individually. We have it in the big group, the service, and the small group, the growth group, okay? So that's available, and it's available three ways. One, go to a growth group. That's the best place to get it. You actually going to a growth group, because they hand it out right there. Number two, it's always in the lobby, over in the corner there, unless we run out. Sometimes we run out. But it's always at capitalbaptist.org. You can go to our website, right under where the sermon series is, is the growth guide. So you can print it out. But you come down that list. These were tools that people, this was a poll, okay? So this is, and at the bottom is the most fabulous one as far as diversity. It's called YouVersion. The YouVersion was created by one church, one local church out there in the Midwest somewhere. I forget which church it is, Oklahoma, I believe, somewhere out there, okay? They were doing it just for their little church. Not, well, it's a big church, a mega church, not a little church. But the point is, this thing took off. I think a billion people now are on YouVersion, something like that. It's some crazy number, okay? It's millions and millions and millions. And what it is you can go here, and almost anything you can imagine studying the Bible, you can find in there. So you say, I want to read through my Bible in a year. They got a plan for that. You say, I want to learn more about marriage. They got a plan for that. You say, I want to learn more about this. They got a plan for it, okay? YouVersion, you create your plan on that site. It's awesome, okay? And then number two is participate in a weekly growth group. Again, you're connecting relationally to grow spiritually. That is that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Isn't that an awesome statement? I'm encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both you and me. I love that statement, you and me. So you get down, you sit down with some you and me people. And then thirdly, attend a weekly church service. Preach the word. That's what it says. So you want to, some of you are checking out churches. Okay, you say, how do you know if it's a good church? How do you know if it's a good pastor? How do you, what kind of pastor do you want to look for? Okay, here's what you got to look for. Okay, they preach the word. It's not whether they're funny or not. I'm a funny guy, you know that, or whatever. Okay, I'm so hilarious or whatever. Okay. It doesn't matter, squat. It comes down, are they preaching the word, okay? Are they preaching the word? That's how you know, that's how you judge a pastor if they're a good pastor or not. Do they preach the word? Do they preach the word? But here's the deal. You can't catch the preached word unless you're sitting in church, okay? I don't know who's supposed to be sitting up here in front today. But you are here, okay? You're not getting nothing out of this message. You hear me? You're not getting squat out of this message. Where are you today, okay? I'm upset with you, by the way, okay? So you gotta be here, amen? So show up, okay? Show up, and if you have to miss, check it out on the website, okay? Am I consistently hearing the Bible through daily devotions, growth group, and church services? 0 to 10. Father, we love you. Increase our faith. Increase our faith through daily devotions, through a growth group, and through church services. In Jesus' name, amen.